Australia's coral coast boasts the world's longest fringing coral reef, but many people might struggle to say where exactly it is in Australia. It's not in Queensland, but 2 hours north of Perth. The region has 1,100 kilometres of beaches, deserts and the famous Ningaloo Reef, where you can swim with whale sharks. CEO of the region is David O'Malley, who's looking to put the Coral Coast Highway on the map as a world-class road trip, like Victoria's Great Ocean Road. Business is booming right now, as evidenced by the fact that there's not a caravan or RV available in Western Australia until well into 2021. David spoke with Graham Kemlow.
Welcome to the show, David.
Hi, Graham. Good morning.
Now, the Coral Coast, I've sort of heard of, but I got to confess, I don't think I've actually been there, but for 20 years, I used to go game fishing a little bit further up the coast in out of Dampier. So, you know, I love WA, but I haven't done the Coral Coast. I think the most famous thing there is Ningaloo Reef, isn't it?
It is right at the top end. So when you went to Dampier, you've actually gone just the other side of my region. So basically, we start at the Pinnacles, which is just under 2 hours from Perth, and follow the Indian Ocean right up just over 1,000 kilometres to the top of the Ningaloo Reef at Exmouth.
Oh, right. OK. So Exmouth's part of your remit?
Yes, thank goodness.
OK.
it's the jewel in the crown, as they say.
Yeah. Right. Well, it's another very, very good fishing spot for the blokes from over here who are interested in that sort of thing. So, David, I imagine you're gearing up for a big year, given that this is meant to be the year of the road trip.
Well, we are, Graham. We're actually in the middle of a surprisingly quite a good year. Because of the border situation, we're finding that as West Australians not being able to travel out of the state, are travelling out into the country here in their droves, which has actually created a problem, a very good problem. Accommodation's very hard to get, particularly during school holidays. But the main issue for us is not the numbers out there, it's the workers, the service staff in the hospitality industry. Normally, we have a lot of international backpackers working up there and helping out, but at the moment we don't have those. So it's a great problem, but our operators are flat out at the moment.
Right.
But and after saying that, I should add that not all operators, most, but not all. So if you're, for example, a whale shark operator up at Ningaloo, it's been a much quieter year than what you'd normally have.
Right, just because the visitors aren't there or weren't there earlier?
Mainly because just under a quarter of their business is from within WA, so over 75% is East Coast and international, and this don't have them. And Western Australians generally don't go out on those sorts of tours.
No, I can imagine.
We've had to work pretty hard to convince them that now's the time to have a bucket list experience.
Yeah. So, and you're just working on the basis that you won't see internationals probably until this time next year.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be great to have a crystal ball? But I don't think so. We may end up with a bubble with the likes of, say, New Zealand, Japan, perhaps Singapore. But I think it's till this time next year before we see some of our main markets coming back, like the UK, Europe, which is, for my region, is probably our number one market.
Yeah, well, it's certainly a big state and there's an awful lot of regions within WA, but basically what you were saying before, you can be in this Coral Coast region 2 hours north of Perth. Is that where it starts?
Yes, it does.
Cervantes, is it?
At Cervantes, yeah, which is the closest town to the Pinnacles Desert, which is the most visited attraction outside of Perth. So we do have a lot of people, particularly over the eastern seaboard or internationally coming over to Perth that only get up as far as the Pinnacles, but
right.
Certainly over the last few years we've seen more and more heading further north. And what we've done, Graham, is created this Coral Coast Highway concept where, well, to start at the beginning, we've always wanted to have one of Australia's greatest driving routes, and I'll fill you in a minute on the reason why I believe the Coral Coast Highway is, but we weren't able to do that up until last year because of the high cost of relocating rental cars. So if you wanted to hire a car in Perth and drive to Exmouth, it was over $1,000 on top of your daily rates to bring the car back to Perth. And we've really struggled to get a hire car company to reduce those fees. But last year we managed that. We did a trial from April through to October, which was extremely successful. So at the moment, it's obviously no one's taking up the offer, but as the East Coast and international markets come back, you can fly into Perth, pick up a hire car and have a minimum of 7 days hire, drop it off in Exmouth, and they will still charge a $250 relocation fee because the car eventually has to come back to Perth, or you can fly into Perth and fly up to Exmouth, hire the car there, and it's only $150. So very similar to what you have on the East Coast or markets like New Zealand. It took us 2 years to get that over the line. Very successful. So now, particularly for our international markets, that traditionally would say to us, look, doesn't matter how wealthy our clients are, they're refusing to pay that relocation fee. Now it's been brochured up, the Coral Coast Highway's been packaged up, and this year it was really going to take off. So hopefully next year, all things being equal, we'll see the results of all the years of work trying to get to this point in time. But I mention it's one of Australia's great driving routes. It's not at the moment, but potentially it will be. And you know, if you ask overseas trade, who we work very closely with, to name, or anyone in fact to name, driving routes in Australia, they'll probably, number one would probably be the Great Ocean Road. Some people might mention the Gibb River Road, but whilst we have a range of driving routes, very few are known, but the Coral Coast Highway, we're very confident will become within 5 years one of our great driving routes. And why I say that is we're talking about the Pinnacles that you've already mentioned.
Yeah.
One of the states, if not Australia's number one attractions. As you move further north during our springtime, come to some of the world's best wildflower displays. Then you get to our centre of Geraldton, which is the rock lobster fishing capital of Western Australia. They have Abrolhos Islands offshore, about 60 kilometres offshore, beautiful coral atolls. You move into the Pink Lake just north of there, which has become a massive attraction in the last couple of years. Then you move on to the Kalbarri Gorges. We now have two new skywalks built in the gorges, giving stunning views out over the gorge area. And that's now accessible for disabled people or elderly people, which the park wasn't really up until now. And then we move into our First World Heritage area being Shark Bay, then up through the Carnarvon produce area into the Ningaloo Reef.
Right.
With our whale sharks, humpback whales. It's the world's largest fringing reef. It's about 300 kilometres long and it's in pristine condition. So, yeah, when you look at it that way, Graham, we've got an extremely good balance of attractions as you drive through the region.
Mm. Well, it's definitely a place you need a vehicle. There's no train or anything that tracks that route, is there?
No, there's not. You can get a coach up there. There's a coach that travels from Perth up to Broome.
Right.
And our local Trans Perth does. You can get as far as Kalbarri, about 6 hours north, by coach. But yes, you're right. The majority of the market do drive, and that's why we're sort of the road trip state, I guess.
So, do you have all the grey nomads over there at the moment, locked in? Maybe.
I think there's a few that can't escape. They're locked in here, but the majority are Western Australians. And interesting that we've seen record numbers out on the road. I'll give you an example. The week after the last school holidays, I drove from Geraldton back to Perth, and for something to do, we counted the caravans, and it counted 114 caravans, all heading north. Now, normally, probably a dozen at best during the day.
Yep.
But you can't buy a new or used caravan or motorhome in Perth until about March next year.
Oh, is that right?
All the yards are empty.
Okay.
It's hard to get four-wheel drives. Because we've been locked away here, everybody's decided to invest in motorhomes, caravans, etc. So they're out on the roads. It's phenomenal.
And if you do hire the vehicle, as you talked about, is there accommodation at these major sites along the highway?
Yeah, there's no problem with accommodation, fuel accommodation, etc. There's no issues at all. The road...
It's a main road?
It's a main road. There's only one road that you can really take between here and Exmouth, or in fact right up through to Broome. You can divert off to it, of course, but there's one road. It's a great road. Driving conditions are really good over here. Obviously, we don't have as much traffic as other parts of the world, but there's a really good balance of accommodation. I will say the only thing we don't have is the big, I suppose, Gold Coast-type resorts, the big tower resorts. Everything over here is sort of low-key eco-tourism, and we have the top quality would be 4.5-star, really good, probably 5-star up in Exmouth, but it's rated as 4.5-star. But that will be changing in the next couple of years. Andrew Forrest, who's our one of the mining billionaires over here. Don't you love the way we don't say millionaires, we say
billionaires. It just starts with a B, doesn't it? Yep.
It does. He's building a $85 million resort right at the top of the Exmouth Gulf, and that'll be open in a couple of years' time.
Oh, so that sounds interesting.
It'll be beautiful. It'll be very low-key, eco-friendly.
Yep. Won't be a Bondi.
No, absolutely not.
Right.
But the region is becoming really popular now, which is great, and for all the reasons that we've sort of spoken about, the future for us is fantastic from a tourism point of view.
Well, and what about the COVID situation? I imagine that's pretty clean along that area, yeah?
It is. We're very fortunate. But last week I was on a virtual meeting post with Tourism Australia and agents throughout the USA, and I'm talking to travel agents from LA across to New York and down through the south and up into Canada. And I was talking to an Australian who owns quite a large travel agency group in San Antonio in Texas, and he said, we've just been officially declared as the world hotspot for coronavirus. But what's interesting there is that it's now actually going through some of the southeastern states, which were handling it quite well up until now. And for me to have these conversations with agents in New York, etc., and look out the window of my office back here and think, how lucky are we? Because whilst we do have restrictions in terms of, you know, you go into the shop, you have to be 1.5 metres apart, etc. We're really, compared with other states, I guess, and certain countries around the world, we're really, to a large degree, unaffected here. But who would have thought that one day the relative isolation of Western Australia would be a bonus?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, we're very, very lucky.
Right. And you don't have any arrangements with Bali or Cocos and Christmas, those sort of offshore getaways from WA?
Not at the moment, no. But my guess is while we're doing quite well from a tourism point of view at the moment, once Bali does come back online, and as we discussed, we at this stage don't know when that will be, I've no doubt the Western Australians will head straight back to Bali. It happened after the terrorist attacks in Bali back in 2002, when a few weeks after, the wholesalers packaging up Bali put in some really good deals, and Western Australians started going back to Bali fairly quickly. And I sort of different opinions on this, but my view is that that will probably happen once people are a little bit more confident with COVID, etc. And we have an affinity with Bali, and a lot of people look at it as their second home. And I think the last 12 months pre-COVID, there was some close to 800,000 visits out of Western Australia in the year.
Amazing.
It's massive, yeah.
Well, David, well done on what you've managed to achieve over there. And it's obviously a destination the Victorians might still want to visit this year if we get the leave pass from the other premiers. We're still down at 0-0 again today, so that's good.
I have a daughter in Melbourne, so I watch it fairly closely.
Yeah.
That's really good news. And look, we're championed a bit over here to get the borders open and get the Victorians back over here. And for my region, you know, Qantas at the moment have daily flights, but pre and hopefully post COVID, they'll have about 12 flights a week. And you can access from Melbourne through Perth straight up to the Ningaloo Reef, so, and get your hire car, etc. So,
sounds good.
Yeah, we make it as easy as we can.
It's on my bucket list. I won't go as far as the Pilbara. We'll have a look at that section of the coast. The whole coastline right up to Broome and further is fantastic. And I urge all Aussies to go and, you know, put it on the things to do before you leave the planet. So, David O'Malley, thank you very much for your time, and good luck with the Coral Coast.
That's great. Thanks very much, Grant.
Graham Kemlow was speaking with David O'Malley of Australia's Coral Coast.